Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am one of your fantastic hosts, Sean, the other fantastic host, Danny. How you doing, man?
I'm trying not to go outside. That's my life goal. Like, I mean, I already had that life goal before, but between the coronavirus and, like, the fact that it's over 100 degrees every day for the rest of my life, seemingly, but, you know, global warming isn't real. I just want to stay inside.
It's so hot.
It is.
You go out there and you just feel like you're in the oven, just baking.
Yes. Like, I thought it was, you know, it's one of those things where I thought it was warm in my apartment. And then I, like, went outside to go get the mail and I came back inside. I'm like, man, it's, like, frigid in here. I'm like, it's kind of cold in here. We should, like, set up the AC because apparently 80 is cold when it's 105 outside.
It's a big difference. Yeah, that's the only good thing about when it feels like too hot inside. And I've done that a few times where the house will be, well, it's like you go outside, it's all humid and you're hot. You're like, oh my God. And you come inside, it's just like, you know, it's not that bad in here. It feels comfortable.
Yeah, it's tolerable.
How'd they live back in the day, man?
Oh, God. Or, like, you have, like, you know, out here we have, like, near the beach communities and stuff, a lot of the older buildings don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because we only needed a couple, you know, we don't need it that much. And it's like, you need it now, because it was, mid to upper 90s in, like, some of the coastal communities. And it's like, sucks to be you, doesn't it? And I was, like, looking on Amazon, I was looking around to, like, see about getting a portable air conditioning unit, and it was like all the ones on Amazon were either like, it was like currently unavailable, we're not sure if we're going to get any more in, or yeah, you can order it, but you're not going to get it for like 2 weeks.
That's fair. That kind of sucks.
It does.
Yeah,
I guess that's my waiting.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all sold out too at the depots.
And the Lowe's.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No. Terrible news.
It's the worst, man. So, let's get to happy news, Sean. What are you drinking?
From Double Nickel Brewing, I am drinking Snapper. It is a Mexican lager with lime, dry-hopped with cashmere hops at a 5.8% ABV.
Does it have a smooth and velvety mouthfeel?
When you smell it, it smells sort of like an IPA. So, it's, like, trippy. Because the dry hop definitely gives it that smell. But it definitely has like a solid, like you get the lime and you have and you know, even it is a lager, but it is a pretty flavorful lager. But it just kind of all goes together pretty well.
Well, the reason I asked if it had a smooth and, like, velvety mouthfeel, because I was wondering if the cashmere hop was anything like the sweater.
I don't think it gives it any kind of... I don't think it does anything with the body. I bet it helps with maybe some of the flavoring. I know it's... I mean, when you're dry hopping, you're really helping the aroma piece, so maybe it's, like... Maybe they're trying to, like, hide the fact that it's a lager by dry hopping it.
Well, like, that seems to be, like, at least with, hoppy, like, pale ale seems, was, like, is a trend that people are doing. Because it's, like, they don't quite want the full IPA, like, kill your taste buds, but they just want something with a little more flavor than just a straight-up pale ale.
Yeah. Try to make it juicy.
Yes, do you taste the lime in it?
No, it does have hints of lime in it. So it's a pretty solid beer overall, though. I think it's better than the
Chocovesa.
Which one's the Chocovesa from who?
Oh no, that, no, man, it's not that. Buenavesa. Chocovesa is their stout. Buenavesa is the lime.
No, I was just gonna say the Cape May had a Mexican lager with lime, but this one's better.
Yeah, no, it's the Stone, the Buenavesa, or Buena Vida, or whatever. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
All Stone and all their cultural appropriation names.
Why are they making fizzy yellow fizzy beer?
because their CEO makes pomegranate juice. I'm surprised they haven't thrown pomegranate in other beers.
Right. Oh, Stone, you've changed for the worse. Or better, I don't know. Who knows anymore?
Well, we got more on that to come.
Oh boy, who else are they suing?
We'll find out.
All right, so what are you drinking your sorrows away with, Danny, since it's so hot out there?
I decided, since I can't hang out with friends and drink beer, that I'm just going to go ahead and open up one of my, like, big-ass bottles of beer.
Yeah.
But, it's not actually – it looks – for some reason, like, the bottle is, like, ginormous. It's, like, it's bigger than the Bottle Logic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only it holds 1 pint, 9.4 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, a ridiculous amount. It's, like, a pint and a half, right? It's not like I'm drinking, like, four beers – like I'm drinking a pitcher of beers by myself. But it's called Li-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Li-Fi. And it's a collaboration between Jester King and Creature Comforts Brewing that's based in Athens, Georgia. So it's a barrel-aged wild beer brewed with Texas malted barley and Georgia wheat. And so, like, the picture is, like, a firefly hanging out, like, on, like, a stalk of wheat.
Mm.
And so it's got ingredients. Texas Hill Country well water, Texas malted barley from Blacklands Malt, Georgia Day Spring wheat, fresh and aged hops, mixed culture of brewer's yeast and native yeast and bacteria. It says, Lo-Fi is a collaboration with our friends from Creature Comforts Brewing Company in Athens, Georgia. We brewed a rustic grist with well water, Texas malted barley, Georgia wheat, and aged hops from our barn. As the wort rested on our cool ship overnight, it gathered native microflora from the Texas hill country. We primarily fermented in a feuder with our mixed culture, matured the beer in oak barrels for 2 years, and gave it a fresh dry hop before natural conditioning it in the bottle.
Mm, nice.
And so, like, this is a brewery in the Jester King is based, like, kind of outside Austin, Texas. They say they're from Austin, but you look at the map and it's like, there's Austin and then their brewery's like an inch away. So I don't know the scale of that on that map particularly. But Jody, that's a brewery that, like, Jody's like, if we go to Austin, she's like, I want to go to that brewery. Because it's a farm to table brewery, so it's like they have the brewery set on a farm, right? So they'll post pictures on their social media of their beers. I mean, their food, right? It looks pretty amazing because it's all fresh.
Yeah.
But then in the spring, if you go there, they have baby goats.
Oh, that's the reason why she wants to go.
100%. I mean, the food's like the icing on the cake, but the 100% reason is because, like, they have goats on the farm, and every spring they have the babies.
Baby goat time.
And then they do, before all the corona and, like, when things were, you know, happy, they were doing goat yoga. So, and, like, they were filming it live, like, so you could live stream it. And so there'd be, like, people doing yoga, and you'd be, like, in your pose, and a goat would just jump up and stand on your back while you're in your yoga pose. And then they had other people that were just, like, wanting to do the yoga but couldn't because a goat curled up in their lap and fell asleep.
That's pretty funny.
But then the other reason I picked this beer, actually, was because Creature Comforts just announced that they're going to open a tap room in Los Angeles.
Oh, fantastic news.
Yes, and I've had some of their beers, and it's actually quite delicious. So that's, like, kind of cool. Hopefully they don't go full, you know, Stone and open a brewery in another place and then have to shut it down because no one likes their beer or because other reasons. But yeah, this one, it's, like I said, it's, 27.5 ounces, and it comes in at only 4.9% alcohol. So it's an easy drinking, beer that's not going to, you know, even though it's a big bottle, I'm not going to, like, hate life. It's not like it's a beer from the brewery where it's the same size bottle, but it's like 22%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, it's like a nice tart taste to it because, you know, of course the wild yeast and all that, but it's very drinkable. It's something you would want to enjoy on a nice warm day.
Fair enough.
So,
I was going to say, earlier this week I had the the other bottle that I had of that mead from last
Okay.
episode. It was the apple pie one. It was pretty good, man. I gotta figure out how I could avoid the laws and get one of the bottles shipped to me for that, because they have one of the apple meads aged in bourbon barrel.
Do they? I was gonna say, do they have it shipped to your work, man?
That's what I think I might have to do, man. They ship to California, but they don't ship to New Jersey.
What's the name of the
laws?
What's the name of the meadery?
Moonstone Meadery.
I might have to order me some and just to drink it, just to rub it in your face if you don't get it.
Yeah, honestly, it's like one of those things where I want to buy like one of the fancy like $150 bottles from like 2013.
And then as you're drinking it, just throw some Jay-Z on in the background.
Yeah.
You have your choice between Big Pimpin' and 99 Problems.
Yeah. Man, even maybe I'll just do some, study beats just in the background, just to relax.
Maybe that would be even better. But that won't be like, you won't be braggadocious with this lo-fi beats.
It's okay, though, man. I feel like it's just going to set a new trend to be the even better than them.
Exactly.
It'll be like, low-key baller status instead of being super flashy. So that's what I think.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I never had a reason to go to New Hampshire, but now I have a reason to go to New Hampshire.
Gotta get that mead, huh?
Gotta get that sweet, sweet mead. Woo! Oh man, that's how it is though. That's the struggle's real.
First world problems.
Exactly.
I've never, because it's not like a thing of like I had to go to New Hampshire and like do something that isn't a first world problem.
I mean, I was like, well, if we fly to Boston, we could go to Salem, we could go to New Hampshire, then go to Portland, Maine. And I was just thinking, man, I was like, that's going to be a lot of drinking.
And then there's another brewery, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they're like a farmhouse ale, like farm style brewery. And they're like in the middle of nowhere between like Boston and like New York area. But they're supposed to be pretty amazing. Like people drive like hours out of their way to go there and have a beer and then like realize that they can't text anybody and post it on social media because there's no cell phone reception.
That's pretty ridiculous, man. Yeah, man. It's like the number five Utopian from 2012, $150. 2011, number four, $150.
They have sale going on.
They do. But yeah,
some stuff, I've had, everything.
Yeah, I've had a few of their beers, and they're all pretty solid.
Avocado Blossom.
I would try that if I could find it.
You can order it.
I could. Cobbler, the peach mead. Oh, that sounds so good, man.
I was going to say that. Or the coffee in bed. Yeah, dude, I'm going to have to order some of these and just rub it in your face. There's another meadery in Phoenix. Nice. Pretty good, too. Superstition meadery.
Coffee in bed. Interesting.
Oh, there it is. 2019 Bourbon Barrel Aged Kurtz Apple Pie.
That's
on sale for $4 cheaper.
Woo! I might have to splurge tonight.
Yes.
Ooh, kisses. What's kisses? Oh, strawberry mead.
Smite.
See, yeah, your wife will drink some of this.
A peach mead with chipotle pepper.
Ooh, that wouldn't be bad.
They have a cherry pie mead.
How Sean and Danny spend $500 at a meadery.
And you can buy a glass for $5 that's excluded from discounts. Apparently, I guess you must get discounts if you sign up for their Lunar Society, so it might just be worth it to sign up for their Lunar Society if you're going to buy the $150 bottle.
I don't know, man. I think that costs a pretty penny, man. That's not like a free club or anything. Yeah, $425 per year.
But you get 12 bottles.
True. You get special bottles.
Yes. Well, there's the mead club right here. So where do you get the discounts? Yeah, so if for $50 a quarter, you get 15% off purchases online.
Nice.
So yeah, and you get 3 bottles of mead for the $50. You get 3 bottles of mead, and you get a discount, and you get unlimited free tours and tastings when you come to the meadery with friends that have paid.
Oh boy, with friends that have paid.
That's what it says. So, like, if you go by yourself, you don't get the free. But if you come with someone else and they pay, then you get the free.
That doesn't make any sense. I feel like $425 for a beer.
No, this is $50 a quarter, so it'd be
$200
for the year. And you get 12 bottles. You still get the same 12 bottles of mead, but it's not exclusive. It's different ones. It's chosen by our mead maker. Will be a variety of styles.
Mm.
So it's like, fuck, what do we have the most of?
Right. Why do I keep getting the same one?
Oh man. So last week we talked about a side project, or the week before, I can't remember when it was, but in the past we talked about side project and people forging their beers, basically making copies of their beers and like resealing the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've made an announcement that they're going to put tamper-proof tape across their bottle caps.
Gotcha.
So that you can tell if the bottle's been opened.
So let me get this straight. So once you get through the wax, you're gonna have to deal with the tape, to deal with the cork, to deal with the cap.
It didn't have it long. It goes tape, wax, cap, cork.
Okay.
But yes.
I feel like this is a lot of steps just to have some beer.
Right?
I feel like it's not even worth it at this point. Like, I'm just going to keep going to Double Nickel, just have a can. It's a lot easier, man. I don't need to, like, get Nicolas Cage over here for National Treasure to figure out how to get to my beer.
You don't need Indiana Jones trying to figure out how to, like, replace the idol on the altar with, like, a bag of sand that weighs the same amount before being chased out of there by a giant rolling ball.
Right? Pretty much, man.
Oh, man. But so Stone is back in the news, Sean.
Who are they suing?
Nobody, actually, surprisingly. But their CEO has stepped down.
Really?
Yes. The former CEO of the pomegranate juice industry, Pom.
Yep.
I guess he stepped down. And the co-founder, that's not Greg Koch, because he's still, like, chief executive of, like, douchebaggery or whatever he is. Mm-hmm. Has taken over as interim CEO. But then there's this beer blogger, The Full Pint, and he actually has a podcast too, but he talks about how, like, he's there for entertainment and some information, like, mm-hmm. infotainment, I guess. But he posted a thing on social media after the CEO stepped down, because he was saying that he used to have people inside Stone that would direct message him breaking news at Stone before it got hit the rest of the mainstream media.
Yeah.
And he says, like, he doesn't have that anymore. So he was like, he posted a thing on social media. He's like, I'll offer $500 to anyone who wants to share some dirt on Stone. Be my undercover informer at Stone. Wow. He's like, direct DM me, you know? And he said that he was getting, like, attacked on social media. He's like, you know, legit news sources don't pay for stories. And it's like, really? Because I'm pretty sure, like, anytime you see a interview on the, like, a media news outlet or whatever, the person giving the interview has been paid. They don't do that shit for free.
Dude, everybody needs every gear needs to get greased before you get it to turn.
Exactly. But the funniest thing about all this is that on his post that he'll give anybody who gives up dirt on Stone, who's willing to give up dirt on Stone, $500.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Koch himself actually replied on the post.
Oh, really?
And he was like, for $500, man, I'll tell you whatever you want. And I'm like, all right, so there's one, like, one point back that you've earned out of all the ones that you've lost, Greg.
Any reason why he stepped down?
They didn't say, and that's why he was trying to get, like, that's why he offered the $500, is because he wanted to find out. There was no official announcement.
Maybe the sales started to really tank with all this, you know, lager beer and stuff.
Either that, or maybe he's He just got tired of, like, all the people attacking them over the lawsuits and stuff. I don't know, man. But yeah, that's why Danny Fullpint of thefullpint.com and the podcast The Full Pint offer the $500 reward. And then Greg's like, dude, give me $500, man. I'll tell you whatever you want to hear.
That's pretty funny.
So there's a brewery in LA called Crowns and Hops, and a couple little, when they were kind of starting up, they actually kind of put their brewery up on Kickstarter, mm-hmm. right? And it's a black owned brewery, and so they started this program where basically they're going to help give money to black brewers that want to open a brewery so that they have capital to help them start out.
Okay, that's pretty good. Pretty solid.
They have 100,000, but they want more money, because they say that right now in the country, out of the 8,000 breweries there are, there's only 60 of them are black owned. And so, like, but I can't remember exactly how much they want, but it's some crazy number that they want to get. But, like, they got $100,000 from all people, BrewDog.
Oh, nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
They tried to save face something.
What was that, Sean?
I said they're trying to save face or something after all their shit.
Exactly. Like, is that the money they save from not paying people for the art that they use on their designs by, you know, having job applications? And then it's like, hey, part of your application is to design a beer label for this beer. And it's like, yeah, we're not going to hire you. And then 6 months later, it's like, wait, isn't that the beer design I did? And it's like, no, it's completely different.
You don't know art.
Yes. So, I mean, because, like, there's another organization called Beer Culture, and they kind of work together, and, like, Beer Culture kind of works with the black breweries and black brewers, and just even just getting black people interested in beer.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of their point is that a lot of the breweries will, like, open up in, like, non-white neighborhoods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the brewery, and every person, like pretty much every person drinking there, and guaranteed every person working there are all white. And it's like, you know, it's like, why are you, like, all of the people within walking distance of your brewery are, like, brown. Why is every dude working here a white dude with a beard?
Because they like the beers, brah.
Right. But the point is, like, you have, like, they have all those customers that they're not trying to reach out to. Like, it doesn't make, and that's their point. It's like, it doesn't make sense to, that you can, like, throw a rock and hit 100 customers that you're just ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so Beer Culture actually started a program where that they're going to give out scholarships for the Cicerone program.
Mm-hmm.
So that to actually educate black and brown people about beer.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's kind of cool though. Like, you know, there's very few, there's not very many, like, you know, like, as you go up the Cicerone ladder, you know, the number of people get smaller and smaller, you know, but then, like, especially the number of minorities get even smaller. So, I don't know, man. I don't understand why, if anybody would have a problem with this. But yeah. I do see, but I did, I don't know, did you see the message that I sent you, Sean, about the mustard beer? I know we talked about that, but it's going to make a quick appearance again as well.
No, I did. I was looking at the recipe. It was I thought it was interesting that there's so many different, like, fruit purees in the secondary with the mustard.
Right.
So I don't know if that's, like, supposed to try to help balance it or something. I thought it was kind of interesting that they did have it. Like, let me see. What was it? It was lemon puree, passion fruit, key lime, and tangerine. It's just like, what do you need all those flavors for the mustard beer?
Right. And so they did post, like, so Oscar Blues online posted the recipe for the mustard beer,
mm-hmm.
for a 5-gallon batch. And that's what we're talking about. they have like the ingredients, they have the temperatures, the times and all that. But yeah, it's like, and so I was listening to, actually it was on, the Full Pint, and he was talking to the head of the California, Homebrewers Club group. And, they were kind of talking about the mustard beer, and they saw, they were like, that's where I found out you could find the recipe online. Mm-hmm. And, he was the guy was drinking a, like a fruited Gosa. And he was like, hold on a second. I have a thing of French's mustard in my fridge. So he like dropped some of the French's in there and like stirred it in. And he's like, I mean, it's not exact, but we're just kind of getting a approximation of the flavor. Mm-hmm. And basically he was saying that it wasn't as bad as he, it was a lot better than he thought it would be. And the mustard just kind of adds like a more of a vinegar flavor than a mustard flavor. Cause there's not a ton. There's only like 3 ounces of mustard per gallon. So, I mean, it's not like it's a 4 cups of mustard per gallon or something or anything ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to find it, but they also said that there's supposed to be a commercial for the mustard beer with Allison Hannigan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and How I Met Your Mother and the American Pie movies.
I wonder what's going to happen. This one time at Bandcamp, I made a mustard beer.
Yeah. One time at Bandcamp, I stuck a mustard bottle up my pussy. Or, I'm sorry. We got to respect Ben Shapiro, and he doesn't like that word, so we got to say a P word. One time at Bandcamp, I stuck a flute up my P word. Oh, man. But yeah, so the beer is sold out. So the only way to try it now is to get either make it yourself or convince one of your homebrew friends to make it for you.
Mm. Are you trying to hint at something?
No, not necessarily, Sean.
That seems like a lot of work.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't get you to watch a 5-minute YouTube video. I think I can get you to watch to make a beer.
You got me there. You got me there. Oh, man.
So, one of the free PlayStation Plus games is Modern Warfare 2 Remastered. But it's just the campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, dude, I just want to kind of run around and shoot shit. Like, I haven't played, like, a Modern Warfare game or a Call of Duty game or any of that for a long time, right? And so this is the one where they have the infamous airport scene. The No Russian mission where you're, like, you're playing an American soldier undercover with this Russian dude, and you end up going through a Russian airport just shooting people. Like civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And so back, you know, I'm like, they still had basically like the same warnings that they did back then where like, because people like freaked out, because it was insensitive. And so like at the beginning, it's like, hey, there's going to be a mission, coming up that's, you might not want to play, and it's not going to affect you in any way if you don't want to play it. So do you want to like go ahead and like answer now, or do you want to like us to remind you later?
No, I haven't played any of those games in so long, and it's just curious that we're all coming out with like the same content, because it's funny because like, you know, we talked earlier about like Destiny like releasing Destiny 1 content previously, so it's just kind of interesting that we're remastering different games instead of just coming up with the same thing. But I mean, it is a Call of Duty, so
I mean, even if it was Modern Warfare 10, isn't Modern Warfare 10 reskinned Modern Warfare 2 and remastered?
Basically,
with like a few tweaks.
Better graphics. And that's kind of why I stopped playing it. Yeah,
but it was free. So, but the one thing I will say, man, is I don't remember I didn't play it on the easiest level. I played it on the second easiest level.
Yeah.
And it was so much harder than I remember. Either like when remastering it, they've upped the ante on the difficulty, or I'm just old and can't play these games anymore, because like I remember like beating almost every mission on this game on veteran. Like I was going after those achievements, and I think I only had like the last 2 missions or the last 4 missions to beat on veteran. Right? And this and like I remember in the before it was like as you upped the difficulty, like one of the things the enemies would do was just start spamming grenades at you. like, you know, like, if you played on the easier levels, you might get a grenade here or there, but, like, you get to veteran, it was just, like, almost a constant barrage of grenades.
It was like a hailstorm.
Yes. And then the other thing was, like, on the easier levels, like, if you just hung back, the NPC players on your team would just go mow through the enemies for you. Like, you could just hang back and not do anything. Like, you're like, oh, the phone, the door, someone's at the door, I gotta go answer it. I'm just gonna go hide behind this car right here. And then you come back, and it's like, oh, the enemies are dead. And it's like, cool, I can move on. So, like I said, I played on the second easiest level, man. And it's like, the non-important NPCs were, like, getting gunned down left and right. And there were just, like, always grenades being thrown at me. And I'm like, I don't remember it being this hard.
Maybe they did make it harder for everybody.
Maybe. I ended up beating it. But, yeah, like, I'm not going to go. I was like, maybe I'll go back through, if I get bored, and go back through and beat it, like, try to beat some of it on veteran. I'm like, no, that's it, man. Like, I beat it once. I'm good. I got the trophy for beating the campaign.
I don't need it again.
No. So, you mentioned Destiny, Sean, and rehashing. What are they rehashing now?
They're bringing back Vault of Glass in the fall, but it's the Solace of Heroes 2020. So this reoccurring event has been happening since the start of Destiny 2. And basically, there's a little bit... some people are being a little bitchy about it. So basically, the biggest point is that you get armor. You got to do a bunch of different stuff and collect orbs. And, you know, the orbs are based off the different... different weapon types. So Void, Arc, and... Solar, and basically you have to do like different things like public events and whatnot, and there's some people complaining about, you know, having to do, you know, to get like the top gear one and whatnot, you have to do stuff like play Trials of Osiris or do 10 Gambit matches. It's just like people are like, oh, it's like too hard. Like, people are making a lot of excuses to get, you know, top tier gear, like they have to go out of their comfort zone to get it. So, and it's just funny because it's like, it's just free gear. Like, it doesn't even like really matter. And then there's also, you know, once you get like the certain top gear, it glows white. And if you want it to glow blue, red, or purple, you have to like buy it from Eververse. And so people are like, well, that's not fair. I want the special glow colors. And I don't want to pay for it. It's just like, you know, it goes back to the whole cosmetic thing. I'm just like, you need to calm down, bro.
Right. And that's one of the things that, like, you know, the people that played, like, Final Fantasy XIV complained about was that, you know, there would be things that would be exclusive for events. And people are like, well, I wasn't around for that event. It's not fair that I don't get to play it. I don't get the thing. And then, so then it's like, all right, fine. So, like, they have the event, and then, like, when the next year, the similar event, so, like, the Valentine's Day event. Mm-hmm. So, like, for this year, like, so, like, whatever was available for this year's Valentine's Day event, where you had to do the event, next year, they'll have new stuff for the Valentine's Day event, but then you can buy last year's stuff on their, like, version of the Eververse. For money. For real monies.
Yeah, dude, I got this awesome emote, and again, I'm part of the problem, Danny. I ended up buying it, but basically it's you and like two teammates, and you guys are like looking at them, and you just start like snapping at like the other team, and then you like pop and you like jump up with like your arms crossed, like all like pumped up. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna use this for some PvP matches.
So basically, like your Michael Jackson video,
like a little posse, yeah, like snap, snap. Snap, and you jump up, just like all like, boom, flexing. Should be fun.
Sounds like fun.
Get some angry people going. Add some salt to the wound.
Add some salt without using the salt bait emote that you never got.
I think I got it now. I have to look. Maybe I didn't. Who knows? I just forgot. I never think about the salt anymore.
Other than like making people feel salt.
Mm-hmm. Basically. That's the only thing I know how to do.
Yes. Including me. Just in general.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting for M. Johnson, you know, 39, to come back and be like, hey, I'm ready to play Destiny. Can you carry me through all this stuff before the event, before the new reset?
Per normal. You mean, like, per normal?
Yeah.
Well, at least it'll give you something to do. It'll give you a reason to log up into Destiny, I guess. And you, and then you'll also be aware that Mike is lost in the woods and dead.
Yeah, true. He's just lost playing, what's it called? Division 2 or whatnot.
Yeah, Division.
Yeah, the bastard. It's kind of weird because, like, I'm playing through and, like, going back and completing stuff I haven't completed before and done, like, different challenges. Because now it's, like, my whole raid team is, like, a guy from... Two guys from the UK, a girl from Australia, and then just kind of like a mixed match of different people in the US at this point, jumping in and out. So it's kind of funny. It's just like, it's like the old raid team that I used to always raid with like a year ago is like, some of them moved to PC and some of them are doing other stuff. And then it's like, I'm like running the team now with all these like newbies and getting them caught up on how to do all these raids.
Well, I mean, you are like a moderator and somebody of importance apparently in the clan.
In the Destiny clan.
Yes.
I am. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm a moderator. I'm a mod.
Exactly. the most important person in your mind. Just ask the Reddit moderators.
On r/anime memes.
Or r/anything.
Yeah. I was done, dude. I left. I went to good anime memes. I couldn't.
Oh, I thought you went to hentai memes like everybody else.
Well, some people were going there, so I guess I'll have to check out hentai memes. But I figured it was probably gonna be a little too ridiculous.
Speaking of hentai memes, Sean.
What?
I've been watching through the series. I couldn't became a hero, so I got a job.
Yeah.
And did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
There's the one episode where like the manager and the assistant manager go to corporate and like they're talking about how like they have they're the highest ranked store in customer service but the lowest ranked store in sales, and like while they're gone they end up getting some sort of a contraption at the store and the demon daughter turns it on and all of a sudden like these like hands come out and then start like rips off the one of the girls' clothes and like starts like reaching up their skirts and stuff, and it's like, wait, is this like Skinamax hentai? Like it's soft core, like you're not showing anything, but like it's not officially tentacles, but it's like magic hands that are because the contraption's broken. And then so like finally they like figure out how to like defeat it, and so like the demon daughter turns off the machine and the hero, the main character, goes and like kills the arms, but they went from being purple magic to like white, and so when they kill them, like the white from the arms like splatters everywhere all over like all the girls. And they're like, oh god, you saved us, and like she hugs the hero and he's like, wait, you're sticky. And I'm like, oh man, like this is a really good show, you don't need to like do softcore hentai.
Right.
And she's like talking to him, of course, and like it's on her face and fucking anime, man.
Yeah, dude, it's just, it's too ridiculous, man.
So I was watching this, wait, is there any more about Destiny before we move on? I didn't want
to
like,
No, you could go on to the weeb portion of the show.
Weeb portion of the show? Okay. I didn't know if there was anything else exciting about Destiny that you want to talk about and that you talked about last year.
I mean, I finished the last raid, so now I could order my raid ring and rock that in public, you know. I'll wear my Gambit shirt and my raid ring and my Destiny hat. I'll be real bling bling.
I mean, at that point, isn't your girlfriend obligated to break up with you?
Maybe. I guess if she wasn't, you know, playing Oblivion for 36 hours straight.
But she's not, she's not buying jewelry.
That's fair.
I mean, I guess it could be worse. You could, like, get the raid ring, and then get it resized and, like, use it as an engagement ring for her.
I work so hard, baby.
It's, you know, they say it's, like, it's supposed to be 2 months of your salary, but what about 2 months of grinding in a video game?
I feel like it's even That's even more time. That's even worse.
Oh man, but I was reading this. There was a joke I saw on Reddit. It was like, you should make your safe word orange, so that when after you're done having sex, you can tell your partner, "Aren't you glad you didn't say? Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?" And then they have to break up with you. Oh man, but the wee portion. So I was watching this YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
It was the video, and it was it was recommended to me. And I guess this mom was complaining because her junior high daughter checked out from the school library the first chapter of the Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid manga.
Oh.
And so she was talking about how, it was kind of funny the way she was talking about it. Like, one of the things she was talking about was, like, you could see most of the dragon girl's boobs. And it's like, wait, most? Like, how much? What do you mean most? Like, and just playing. And then at the end, she was like, well, I mean, I guess I could understand how some people wouldn't have a problem with it, but I just want to make people that would have a problem with it aware. And it's like, so you had to do a whole news segment? Like, this was on the news. For her to basically admit that, like, yeah, I don't really want to take it out of the library, but, like, maybe parents should know that it's there. And it's like, or maybe parents should, like, look and see what their junior high kids are reading if they care that much.
They don't. They just want them to go to school and get out of their lives.
And it's like, I remember, like, in March when everyone's like, oh, man, teachers are important. Like, we should pay them more and treat them with respect. Now it's like, just shut the fuck up and get back in class. Don't be lazy. And if you die, I don't care. I'm tired of my kids. Oh, man. But then that same YouTube channel has been going into this rabbit hole of our poor Uzaki-chan, Sean.
No. Why?
From Uzaki. Have you been watching the show?
Dude, honestly, I love the show now. Like, it definitely was kind of like meh in the beginning, but I definitely feel like it's grown on me.
Like part of me is like, what? Like, because, like, they have his boss's daughter and one of his friends are, like, trying to, like, finagle it so they hook up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's almost, like, romantical in a way. Like, I'm almost like, yeah, I do hope they hook up. They seem to be, like, a cute couple. Yeah. Versus, like, the perviness. But I guess the problem with the Uzaki-chan is the Twitterverse is upset about her, Sean, mm-hmm. and her design.
Why? Because her weird skin thing?
No, you would think that, but they don't care about anime girls and cancer.
Gotcha.
they're upset because she's short and has huge tits.
And that's the worst part about, you know, anime in general?
Right. But, like, the way, and especially her, because, like, well, and they're, like, saying that, like, well, if you're attracted to her character, then that, like, basically they're like, she's designed as a cover for pedophiles. And it's like, isn't that what lollies are? To the point, right, where, like, people are doing, like, fan art of, and quote, and, like, saying that's like, now I've made her normal. And it's like, you know, like a lot of them are, like, just really badly drawn, or, like, they always draw her overweight. And it's like, look, this is normal. And, like, so now Japan's like, wait, maybe in America being obese is normal, but that's not how it is in Japan. Like, we go to the hospital when we get obese and our doctors tell us to lose weight or we're going to die, and we listen to our doctors because we're not crazy.
Right.
And so, and then somebody even, like, took this chart. I don't even know where they got the chart, but it was, like, the growth stage from, like, a baby to a toddler. And they fit, like, Uzaki-chan's, like, body onto one of them and said, see, she has the same body design as a baby, just with boobs. But then somebody replied and put Hank Hill from King of the Hill on the same exact baby that Uzaki-chan fit on. And, like, so you're saying that Hank Hill's a baby too?
He is a baby. A sweet, like, sweet American, like, baby.
Like, the length of his leg, torso, and arms or whatever is, like, like a baby size in him. So, and they're saying, like, that, like, if you're attracted to short women with big boobs, and there's something wrong with you. And it's like, wait, are you saying that there's something wrong with short women with big boobs? Because those exist. Like one of my friends is married to someone who's shorter than Jody.
Wow.
And has bigger boobs than Jody. And so that means he's a pedophile because he's married to her?
Maybe.
Which would make sense because she teaches, like, elementary school, so maybe that's his N.
Hmm.
Or probably not. He just really likes.
And just maybe just into teachers. I don't know.
Yeah, he's hot for teacher. He's got a bad, got a bad, got a bad. He's hot for teacher.
He wants to get beat by the yardstick.
Exactly. You mean pegged?
Hey, man, whatever flows, man. I ain't here to judge.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just like he's made a few videos about the Twitter, which I guess now because Tumblr stopped allowing people to put porn on there, so no one goes on Tumblr anymore. So now all the Tumblrinas are on our Twitterinas or whatever.
I don't know, man. That's too much. Yeah. That's too much stuff to keep track of.
Yeah, but our poor Uzaki-chan, man. Like, they're being bullies to her.
Leave her alone. Let her just try to cheer up the grumpy old man or the grumpy old kid.
Yeah, I figured you were watching it because I went to watch the newest episode and it wasn't under the continue watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because like whenever a new episode pops up, it's up under the and then I looked and it's like, oh, it's finished.
Well, I woke up on Saturday morning and there was I saw a meme I haven't seen before of it, so I was like, oh, I guess it's updated, so I went and watched it.
Yes,
I fell back asleep.
They had the obligatory, you know, beach episode.
Of course.
Man. And some awkward funny moments and some sweet moments.
Right.
But I think I do like the boss's daughter. I think she's a funny character too.
She is.
But so you know, another story that this guy did on YouTube, the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I saw something yesterday Friday that Crunchyroll or AT&T, whoever owns Crunchyroll, was in talks to sell it to Sony.
Mm.
And Sony basically was like, yeah, we're not going to pay that much money. And the deal fell through. I was like, well, why are they trying to sell Crunchyroll? And this guy made a video that explained it. So a bunch of the top anime producers in Japan have decided to get together to fight pirating the websites and the channels that pirate anime.
Yeah.
So they're going to make a YouTube channel where you can watch their animes for free on YouTube on there.
Interesting.
So they don't really have many details other than
is it basically they're just trying to get if people will watch it for free on YouTube then they could get advertisement paid from it or something?
I guess I don't know, but I don't know how that's gonna hurt paid subscription services like Crunchyroll or Funimation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people don't make anime for free, so.
Right, they're gonna have to make money somehow. So I don't know if they're just gonna be like. You know, like a 22-minute anime, 24-minute anime, there's going to be a commercial every, 5 minutes or 4 minutes. Which I would pay to not have to do that shit. That's why I have a job, so I don't have to deal with commercials on YouTube every, couple minutes. There's a lot of videos, this one included, because it was a 10-minute video. I'm watching it, and it was, a couple minutes in, and it's, commercial, and I'm like, okay, I got all the information I need from this video. I'm done. I don't need that many commercials. Oh man, but Sean, you finally did homework.
Yep, finally watched Goblin Slayer, the movie, the Crown of Goblin Crown.
Goblin Crown King. I don't know. It's been a month since I've watched it. I'm trying to get you to watch it for that long. I know there's Goblin King and Crown in there somewhere.
Yeah. So it's an hour and a half movie, and the first half hour is literally a recap of the whole first season.
It's 85 minutes, and 25 of it is. Yeah, so there's an hour.
Super, super annoying. I watched pieces. I would, fast forward through it at different parts, and then I kind of watched a little bit at the end just to kind of recap the end because I haven't seen it in a while. But the actual movie itself... I thought it was good. I mean, I don't think it was anything groundbreaking or different. It was kind of just it felt like it was it just felt like a sub, nothing really changed. They just went out to, like, they just went on another adventure and killed goblins. Like, it didn't really, I think, add anything to the anime series. I don't think it took it away, took anything away. It was fun to watch. I thought there was a part at the end that was just super hilarious, though. And I think it almost kind of, like, helped me enjoy the anime more, because it was just kind of like, it felt like, up, you know, goes, there's goblins, figures out, kills, you know, nothing really crazy happens, and then he's just like, it just, he's like, you cry a lot, and I just started laughing.
Right, for me it felt like it was a thing where it's like, they had the story they wanted to tell, but it wasn't long enough to make a full season, and it was too long to make an OVA.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, let's just make a movie. And they're like, it's too short to be a movie. And it's like, yeah, we'll just tack on 25 minutes of recap and make it an 85-minute long movie. How about that?
Right.
And we'll save money.
Terrible news.
And everyone's like, hell yeah. As opposed to, like, throwing the guy out the window at the board meeting. They gave him a promotion and a raise.
Exactly. So I thought it was pretty good, though, man.
So. Yeah, I did. I mean, it was... There was some really good action scenes. And it kind of, like, a lot of the premise was similar, where, like, you know, in the series it was, you know, the healer, the way he found her was in a group that thought they could handle the goblins because they're just goblins and who can't beat a goblin, and they go and they get stuck and, like, all the girls get raped and you kind of sort of see side boob and stuff but don't really see it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing that happens here. Like, there's, like, this girl, she's, like, a royalty, but she wants to be an adventurer, and she takes this group and they're kind of listening to her because she's royalty, and... They're going to, like, they find out where the goblins are holed up, and they're going to just outweigh them, and ends up the goblins have more patience than them, so she goes to go get food and comes back, and they've all been murdered, and
yeah.
Then they have to go rescue her, and they find her, and she's, like, strapped to a table naked.
Pretty much.
Again, more Skinamax, but you don't see, even look quite slight, just a little bit less than Skinamax, because you don't actually see nipple.
Yeah.
I think they don't, they almost do the, oh, what's his name? The guy that does the J.J. Abrams, like the J.J. Abrams lens flare effect on the nipples.
You gotta do something, man.
Right. You
gotta keep it PG-13 one way or another.
Right. But yeah, I mean, if you don't want to watch, if it's like, the only advantage I would say of watching this really is if you watch like the first, if you, it's an 85 minute long movie and you don't have to watch the first season of the show.
True. I thought it was kind of funny because it always happens in this anime, and of course it happened in the movie. There'll be, you know, everybody's like speaking Japanese, and then it's just like, and they're talking about like, what would cause this? What would cause the goblins to be so organized and everything, and blah blah blah, you know? And then it just goes over to Goblin Slayer, and he's like, Goblin Champion, just
like, yeah.
It's like every time, man. It's just like you could. It's just like ready to go. It's like Goblin King, just like straight English. Goblin fill in the blank.
Yeah, Goblin King, Goblin Priest, and then like when he first started off his mask, I was like almost disappointed because I thought he was gonna be some like grizzled old man who lived a long life, as opposed to some young like attractive man that like might. At some point justify a romantic relationship between him and the cleric.
Well, bang, okay? God, leave me alone. I'm just trying to kill goblins.
Well, they do bang because apparently, like, having sex with the cleric in that world heals you faster. Yeah. So that's why he sleeps with the high priestess that's blind, and then he also sleeps with her at the end of the first season.
I thought they just shared the bed together to help.
No, Sean, come on, dude.
Dude, I'm trying to think pure thoughts, man.
It's like I was reading this
Don't
post
ruin
on...
it for me, man. Don't ruin it for
me. I was reading this post on Reddit, and someone was like talking about how like her dad just like was questioning about his aunt, because it's like, wait, his aunt like is roommates with this woman, and they've been like for years, and he's like, wait, they only have one thing, they're roommates, but in a one bedroom apartment. Where does the other person sleep? Does she sleep on the couch? Because she's 83 years old, she can't sleep on the couch. Is that like you, Sean? You're like, wait. They just shared a bed, and they were naked. But they didn't have sexy times.
Yeah, I think they just hung out, man.
They just hung out and, like, talked?
Yeah. See, yeah. No, it says no, Goblin Slayer did not sleep with Priestess. He slept next to her as she was needed in the resurrection miracle spell. Because if she lost her virginity, she wouldn't be able to heal him.
Okay, I guess. I mean, that's what butt sex is for, apparently, according to... I mean, you got the butt sex loophole or Family Guy, the ear sex loophole.
It's. Did you ever watch that fucking video from those two girls? They're going to have butt sex because they love Jesus? Because it's a loophole? Yes.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Yes.
My favorite one of theirs is the go-kart racing accidental masturbating. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't watched many. I just heard a couple episodes this past week. I overheard them. They're pretty funny though.
Yeah, basically the premise is like, you know, the vibration from the motor of the go-kart. It's pretty funny. And then they have a couple, like one with Weird Al. Yeah, they're pretty funny. Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah.
Kate Micucci, she's been on like The Office and a bunch of stuff. Like they've been on, popped up here and there on like different comedies, TV shows, and movies as well. Mm-hmm. And there's like a clip of her on Conan O'Brien saying like basically like, yeah, I know what my last name rhymes with. So, Sean,
yes,
they want to cancel Rick and Morty now.
Is it because it's terrible to watch?
Pickle Rick!
No, because apparently a video of Dan Harmon has resurfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And where out of context it looks really bad. Maybe in context it's probably not the best.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to, you know, everyone like jumping on the pedophile bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Of so there's that old show Dexter, right?
Yes.
Where he's basically like he works as a medical examiner, but he's also a serial killer, killing serial killers. And everyone like idolized him and made him like a hero of the show. And so Dan Harmon, basically making fun of that whole premise of how Americans idolize killers, but not other things. Mm-hmm. He made a video of him pretending to have sex with a doll of a baby.
Wow.
And that's why they want him. That's why they want to cancel Rick and Morty now. And this video was like made in like 2003.
I don't know, man.
Right. Of all the reasons to cancel of the Rick and Morty gives recently in the last, you know, decade to be canceled, they have to find something from almost 20 years ago.
Sometimes you just gotta stretch to get something.
Right.
I bet it took a long time to dig for something to kill Rick and Morty, besides their own shitty writing.
Right. Or their fans.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But,
bastards.
Yes. So, the second season of Umbrella Academy got put up on the Netflix.
I know, man. I need to watch it. I'm excited.
Did you watch the first season?
I did watch the first season.
Did you want to wait to talk about this until you watch the second season, Sean? Or do you want to talk about it before Christmas?
We could talk about it before Christmas. I have no set goals in watching it anytime soon, so.
Okay. So basically, it starts right off from where the first season ended.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend more time with Five, who is an amazing character. A lot of the, like, some of the complaints I heard is that they don't give, like, some of the other characters, like, as much to grow. Like, Klaus is still kind of like a horrible person, and it's like, yeah, but that's, why can't horrible characters just be horrible characters? Why do they have to make themselves better? And what if he does that? What if that's for, like, the third season, which they've already
committed.
Said is going to be coming out?
I don't know.
So you better hurry up and watch, because, like that's what happened with me in, like, the Voltron show. Like, I watched, like, the first two seasons, and then it was, like, season three's out, and then it was, like, a little bit later, season four's out, and it's, like, next thing I know, it's, like, we're done. Like, all six seasons are out, and it's, like, wait, didn't season two just come out, like, last month?
I am behind on some different series as well, so I don't know. Hopefully I'll, I got a couple vacations in September that I'm hoping to catch up on some stuff.
Right, and there is a short recap available, so you don't have to rewatch the first season to, like, in case there's things you forgot. No. But apparently, I didn't watch the recap, but apparently it's horrible and doesn't, like, it doesn't mention things that are kind, some things that are important for the second season. If you forgot.
Interesting. How do you like it overall, though?
I thought it was good. Like, the first handful of episodes were really good. The middle kind of dragged. Like, apparently that's a thing with Netflix that is common that people know about, that, like, the Netflix bloat where it's, like, the first, like, the second season isn't as good as the other seasons.
Yeah.
And this one, like, the first couple episodes, it starts off really good, and then it kind of starts kind of dragging a little bit, and then it gets really good, like, in the last couple episodes. Mm. But, I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's just, it's not as, like, exciting. It's kind of like the Walking Dead episodes where it's like the first 10 minutes and last 10 minutes is amazing, but the middle, mm-hmm. you just got to deal with like character development and people talking.
Gotcha.
And this one, it takes place leading up to the Kennedy assassination.
Okay.
So in Dallas, Texas.
Yeehaw.
So yeah, there's a lot of like kind of like surprises, and there's a couple where you're like, okay, yeah, I didn't see that coming, but I mean, wait, no, I'm sorry, I did. I totally saw that coming.
Make up your damn mind.
Well, I mean, because it's supposed to be like a surprise reveal, and it's like, oh, okay, no, I wasn't surprised at all. Like, I knew you were going to do that.
Shocking conclusion in the next episode of Umbrella Academy.
But it is really good, and the last, like, the final scene sets up for the next season.
Gotcha.
Did you read the comic at all?
Nope.
I didn't either.
Nah, broski. Are they basically? Is it bait? So is the show based off the comics, or is it kind of its own thing with the characters?
I'm not sure. I'm sure it's probably like The Walking Dead, where it's like mostly based off the comics, but then they make changes.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even recommend, like, if you have Netflix and you're, like, out of things to watch and you haven't watched Umbrella Academy, you should watch it. It's a comic book show that isn't super comic booky.
True.
Right?
Yeah, I would say so. It's yeah, it's definitely not, like, happy, pleasy, hero save the day kind of stuff.
Right. And then I watched a couple movies, Sean.
Oh, no. What'd you watch?
I watched an Academy Award-winning movie called The Shape of Water.
It's liquid.
Exactly.
That's the shape.
Well, depends on what state it's in.
Got you. That is true. It could be solid or plasma.
It could be a gas.
Yeah.
So basically, like, it's kind of takes place at this like government facility, and they discover this like a lizardy type person or whatever. So, and it takes place like in the height of the Cold War with the aliens and all that stuff and the Russians. And I don't know, man. It's surprisingly, it's better than I thought it would be, even though it did win the Academy Award. Like, sometimes the Academy Award winning movies kind of drag on a little bit because like the Academy has to feel self-important. But it's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
Who did Hellboy and stuff. And it has one person in the movie that's like, in almost all of his movies, is Doug Jones, who's like basically like the he was like what's his name, the eye dude in Hellboy. You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, he always plays like the creatures and things. Like he's like the guy that plays like Smeagol and all that, kind of similar to him.
Okay.
Let's see, but another thing is, the main character gets naked a lot in this movie.
Why is that?
I don't know, because he played the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer, and he was in like Pan's Labyrinth, directed by Hellboy. Guillermo del Toro. Let's see, this bugged me. Abe Sapien.
Oh yes, good old Abe.
Yes. But it's like, so I'm watching and like Michael Shannon's in the movie, but like the main character, like right at the beginning of the movie, like she's like a mute cleaner who works at this government facility. And so that's kind of why she like kind of like develops a relationship with this amphibian man, because he can't talk. And so, basically, like, right at the beginning, they show her, like, getting in the bath. Full frontal. And it's like, dude, so that's what happened? Like comedy took the dicks, and serious, like, Oscar-winning, award-winning movies got lady nudity?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like. But then I'm watching it, and I'm like, why does this old lady keep getting naked? And then I looked up the actress, and she's, like, a couple months younger than me, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm fucking old.
Oh, man. Poor man. Poor Danny.
It is. I know, man. But it's a pretty good movie. Like, I understand why it won the Academy Award. And Michael Shannon is amazing in it. Like, he's amazing in everything. And then I watched, to cleanse the palate of a good movie, Sean, I watched Bloodshot.
Okay.
The Valiant comic, based on the Valiant comic, with the greatest actor that ever starred in a car. Never mind. There's other better actors in those movies. I can't think of it. The best actor that ever did the voice work for a talking tree, maybe? No, because there were talking trees in The Lord of the Rings.
And there's Groot.
Well, he is the voice of Groot, Sean.
I am Groot.
Yes, but the talking trees. So I can't even say he was the best actor, the voice actor that did talking tree in a movie, because there's the Lord of the Rings trees were better actors. But yes, I'm talking about Vin Diesel. Did you ever read any of the Valiant comics when you worked at school and had nothing else to do? Like, you've already read all these books?
No, I did not.
And I think that's the problem with Valiant comics right there. But basically, he's like a soldier, and he gets killed, and he gets like resurrected, and he come to find out that like his blood has been replaced with nanobots.
Okay.
And he's like out on a mission to get vengeance on the person that killed him and his wife. And so, but there's a twist.
Is there?
You know what? As much as I thought I would like almost like watch this movie like ironically and enjoy it, the action scenes are pretty good, and the twists are pretty good. It's a lot better than the M. Night Shyamalan twists.
That's good. Because some of those twists are bad.
Yes, I'm talking about even like his good twists, like before you knew there were twists.
Ong, it's Aang, motherfucker.
That was the twist. What a twist.
What a twist. I want some cinnamon twist.
But yeah, I would watch. I don't know, man. Like, if you just want to watch a dumb, like, shoot 'em up action movie with some pretty cool, like, special effects, and then some really shitty special effects.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a scene where he's, like, fighting, like, against these two guys, and he's, like, falling down an elevator shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the fucking like CGI in any of the DC movies look amazing by comparison. Mm-hmm. Like, because they always talk about how like in the Justice League movie, how man, I can't think of the villain in there, but he he looked like PlayStation 2 graphics or PlayStation 3 graphics.
Yeah.
Like this guy looked like, I was like, I didn't think it was that bad. Even watching it again, I'm like, it doesn't look that bad. Like, immediately, as soon as I was watching Bloodshot, I'm like, oh god, that's bad CGI. they just did, like, the first, like, couple, like, runs of CGI, and then they ran out of budget to, like, actually fix it. But if you go into it knowing that, like, the CGI isn't the best at some points. I mean, there's some points where it's really good, so I don't know what happened here. Like I said, maybe they just, like, used up all their CGI budget on other scenes. I would watch this movie. But I like dumb movies sometimes.
Mm. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening to another fantastic one. Hopefully, you're staying cool and safe out there at your homes. You could always follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Untappd, all of those fantastic places.
And give us a review on iTunes if you can, or Google or Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred way of calling it, whether you're old or young.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Later.